And welcome to The White Way, a public service radio program of the Mo'ili'ili Hongaji. Mo'ili'ili Hongaji is a Jodo Shinshu Buddhist temple located at 902 University Avenue. Reverend Toshiyuki Umitani and our members invite you to join us at temple services and activities. If you go to our internet website at www.mo'ili'ilihonganji.org, you will find a map of our location and some information about our temple and activities. This morning's broadcast is sponsored by the Miyazaki family, in memory of Mrs. Teo Miyazaki. Our speaker this morning is Reverend Bert Sumikawa, retired minister of Honpa Honganji Mission of Hawaii. Good morning, Reverend Sumikawa.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to the weekly White Way radio broadcast. As it is still quite early in the new year, the year of the rabbit, may I wish all of you a very happy new year in Amida's compassion. We join together once again following the path of the Buddha. As Shinran says, we are Ondobo Ondogyo, or fellow travelers on the Buddhist path. Please join me by putting your hands together in reverence as I read the words of Shinran Shonin. The light of the Buddha of unhindered light harbors the lights of purity, joy, and wisdom. Its virtuous working surpasses conceptual understanding as it benefits the beings throughout the 10 quarters. Beams of light 3,600,000 billion in number, there is no place they do not reach. Namo Amida Butsu. Well, springtime as it will, it will be in a very short time upon us, bringing thoughts of flowers blooming in all their magnificence. People from all over the world travel not only to Japan, but to Washington, D.C., and even Wahiawa and the Big Island to see the annual blooming of the cherry blossoms. I'm hoping that someday we can all plan a trip and go on a private bus to Wahiawa for the annual viewing of the cherry blossoms, or Hanami, a centuries-old tradition throughout the Japanese archipelago. It is said that the cherry blossoms from afar resembles beautiful clouds, and that only up close will you see the true essence of a single flower. I don't know. I guess if you sit under the cherry trees and drink enough sake, you can imagine anything. The invisible light mentioned in the wasang I just read to you shines within each and every flower. As Shinran states, there is no place it does not reach. This then means that the invisible light reaches everywhere, even into the depths of my being. It also radiates within the hearts and minds of all beings. It radiates within the mountains and the streams and the trees, and it illuminates the rivers and oceans. At times, the world may appear dark and dreary, but there is a great immeasurable light that can brighten up the darkest of days, the darkest of lives. Amida Buddha, as you know, means immeasurable life and immeasurable light. Although one's life may be dark and dreary at times, and although my life may be sunk in my limited ego self, the Nembutsu, as immeasurable life and immeasurable light, illuminates our hearts and minds and allows one to touch the timeless and the infinite. As I said, this light is always around us, never abandoning us. Like you may have heard many times in the past, this quote from a visiting minister of Reverend Fujitani. Once, when visiting Reverend Fujitani at his home in Manoa, he gazed out of the picture window to the mountains in view and remarked that although I see the mountain when I have time, the mountain is always looking at me, meaning that just like Amida Buddha, when I have time, I express my gratitude and recite the Nembutsu, but Amida is always looking out for me, calling out to me. As a form of religious practice, Unno points out that there are two functions of recitative Nembutsu, that first, it voices our deepest wish to go beyond the ego self and to become true and real and sincere as a human being. As we come to the realization that this has already been accomplished in a timeless past for each of us, from the side of Amida Buddha, we then secondly respond to the name that calls with a profound gratitude. In Unno's book, River of Fire, River of Water, he tells of a student that was in his class on Buddhist thought at Smith College who wrote an essay revealing the significance of calling in her own experience. The incident occurred during a hiking trip into the Grand Canyon. With several friends, the student by the name of Julia took a long hike into the canyon. In due time, she found herself lagging behind and suddenly found herself all alone. Suddenly, she realized that she was lost in unfamiliar terrain. Julia yelled out the names of her friends, but only the echoes resounded throughout the canyon. An eerie silence then prevailed. As it began to get dark, the air began to get cold, and as it got even colder, she tried to keep herself as warm as she could. She thought that surely her friends would come back looking for her. But as time passed and darkness descended, there was no sign of a search party. The night became even colder, and wild animals howled constantly, and suspicious rustling in the bushes that she kept hearing began to work on her nerves, and fear began to enter her mind. Then, in the stillness of the night, she heard faint human voices in the distance. As the minutes passed, the voices became stronger. In the darkness, she could hear movements approaching her. The search party was calling out to her, and soon the calling became clearer and clearer. She distinctly heard the calling directed at her, that in response, she yelled back to identify herself. Though she couldn't see the search party in the darkness, their calling out affirmed their presence and ensured her rescue. As Julia responded to the call, she was no longer afraid. In hearing her name called and calling in return, she felt strong in body and mind. Her whole being was transformed from one of total confusion to one of complete well-being. The Nimbutsu functions in our life in a similar way, and Unno calls it the name that calls. In the darkness, we hear a name, confirm it, and all is right in the world. We may be groping in the darkness, floundering in the wilderness, so to speak, but once we hear the name and confirm it, then all is right with the world. Then we are brought out of the darkness and into an open field of sunshine and warmth that enables us to really see ourselves. As I mentioned earlier in this talk, the Nimbutsu functions in a very similar way as a name that calls, that when we are lost in the dark of the night, someone calls out, identifies himself or herself by name. That although we may have been groping in the darkness, once we hear the name, we are brought out of the darkness and into the bright open sunshine of day, enabling us to see ourselves as we truly are. This insight into the self is the intellectual core that is the heart of the Nimbutsu. In another example, at bedtime, as a little boy begins to fall asleep in the dark, he sees monsters in the room and calls out, "Mommy, Mommy." The mother soon goes into the room, turns out the light switch, and comforts the boy, saying, "Look, there's no monster here in the room." He is relieved, and so the mother turns off the light and leaves the room. Comforted, he tries to go back to sleep again, but in the darkness the child sees monsters jumping around in the room, and full of fear the boy begins to cry again. The mother rushes back into the room, and this time she remains in the room with him in the dark. She then actually notices ominous figures dancing around on the wall. Well, they are shadows thrown by the streetlight, swaying trees blown by the wind. The mother wakes the boy up, turns on the light, and shows him what the real story was. The fear was real, but unfounded. She then turns the light off again, and the child now fully understands and soon falls asleep, softly murmuring, "Mommy, Mommy." Unno states that at the core of Nimbutsu experience is an intellectual element that enables us to see things as they are, so that we are no longer fooled by delusions. Talking about this little boy's fright, I remember that when I was in high school and driving over the then old Pali Highway late at night, it used to be a two-lane road through the Nuanu rainforest. Winding on the road late at night, the car lights would shine on the trees and branches, and it sure looked like ghosts were dancing around the trees. So I know how this boy felt. Reverend Ogui, in his book, Zen Shin Talk, says that in Jodo Shinshu Buddhism, we talk about Amida Buddha's compassion and wisdom, which are an unconditional power to take all sentient beings without any condition and without any discrimination. This infinite compassion and wisdom breaks us out of the darkness of ignorance into infinite light and life. He says that it is like the warmth of the sun, which takes all sentient beings without any condition. When one realizes this unconditional compassion and wisdom within oneself, one cannot help to experience a deep sense of confession and being sorry for times that we have caused trouble to others. But at the same time, we feel a sense of thankfulness and a sense of gratitude and joyfulness of life. When we sense this, it is the presence of Amida Buddha in our life, and saying the Nembutsu becomes Amida Buddha's calling out to you. It is the name that calls. When the Nembutsu becomes spontaneous and natural, we realize that it is the call of Amida from long before, and that we are always Amida Buddha's deepest concern. We are all surrounded by the mythical Indra's net that hangs high above Mount Sumeru, the center of all physical, metaphysical, and spiritual universe, teaching us that all things are interdependent and precious together. Guided by the wisdom and all-compassionate one, we are one together with the universe. This realization will encourage us to overcome all adversity in our continuing effort to spread the Buddha Dharma throughout the world, actually. So, the name that calls that we speak about, how does one respond to it? Well, here is a quote. Although the voice that calls Namo Amida Butsu is mine, it is the call of my dear parent saying, come as you are, Namo Amida Butsu. Thank you all for listening. Please have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Sumikawa, for your Dharma message. Tomorrow, Sunday, February 5th, the speaker at our 9 a.m. remembrance service will be Reverend Toshiyuki Umitani of Moili Ili Honganji Mission. As we come to the close of our program this morning, we would like to thank our sponsor, the Miyazaki family, and our speaker, Reverend Bert Sumikawa. We thank you for listening. I invite you to join us next week when our speaker will be Mr. Raymond Takeuchi Jr., past president of Moili Ili Honganji Kyodan. Namo Amida.